lives in, right? All of them are seeing Jesus. It's not seeing a biblical one that's rooted in there. Right? This article that's written here also sees Jesus. Right? But it sees a Jesus who can be separated from the church. It sees a Jesus you can leave all the church behind. You don't need that institution. You don't need any of those things. You don't need religion, whatever else you throw into those categories. You can just have pure Jesus and not have those things, which isn't a biblical understanding of Jesus. But it's someone who sees him, right? So I was reading in the newspaper, I don't think it's on here somewhere, maybe Friday, yes. So they had a symposium that was coming up at Southminster Presbyterian Church. It was on Friday and Saturday, so you missed it if you weren't there. God, Christianity, and the Human Future. The primary speaker that they interviewed for the article is Thomas Sheehan, who is a religious studies professor at Stanford University, ranked like, what, the fourth best university in the world? So a pretty good place to be, right? Religious studies professor at Stanford coming here to speak. So you would assume then that he's got a solid understanding of things religious. He's coming to speak about God, Christianity, and the human future. He says that the original sin is for religion to think that it's ultimately about God. He goes on to down to describe Jesus and to say, Jesus is not a neurotic mother who needs to be called on once a week. Jesus was all about people, and here's his quote from Jesus, "Don't love me, love one another." Which is just a reminder, like if you're in a college age setting or whatever and you're going out in the world, just because someone works at Stanford and they have a religious studies chair or whatever it is, doesn't mean that they've actually either read or appreciated what the Bible has to say. Right, and what you find on so many of these things, right, is not someone who's totally off base. They take an aspect of things and then they reject something else. You see it in Islam, you see it in Mormons, you see it in Jehovah's Witness, you see it in this article, you see it here. Does Jesus want you to love one another? Oh yeah, and vastly better than any of us has yet figured out how to do. Does Jesus say, don't love me? No. Right? And even the whole process that Paul outlines is like, when you love me, you learn to love others. Right? There's no rejection of Jesus in the middle of this loving of other people. Right? He says that if there's a last judgment, it's all about how you treat other people and not about how you've treated Jesus or cared about him. Which none of that really matches what we understand from the biblical story. So as we look at that, all that is are just simply reminders that people see Jesus all around you, right? The challenge is if you're going to become like him in a way that both reveals him and in a way that fixes, right? So matches his agenda as well as yours, because we want to get fixed. If you're going to do that, you need to find the biblical Jesus first. You need to root yourself in there. And just to be clear with you, right? We've centered on Jesus because the Bible speaks about following him and becoming like Christ. But Christ is the triune God. So even though we use that word, that includes Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you cannot separate Jesus from the others. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is always a part of that triune nature of God. So you might as well just say, how do you become like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Jesus is the fleshliest aspect of that, the one that's easiest to see. So becoming like that can make more sense to us, but I don't want by any means to give you a sense that doesn't include the Father or the Holy Spirit as well. All of those are wrapped in there together. That is the biblical Jesus, which means you're not just looking at the red letters that Jesus has to say somewhere here and there, right? You're looking through all of Scripture trying to say, who is God? This living Father, Son, Holy Spirit from eternity, and how is he inviting me to become like him? How is he calling me into that place? Can you think, and you can narrow it down just to the person of Jesus, the Gospels, again, that's maybe an easier way for us to connect, or you can make it as broad as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm fine with either category. Can you think of one way that Jesus is beautiful? Hopefully you can think of many. All right, can you think of one part of Jesus that is just beautiful to you? Because as we finish up this morning, I want to move away from, we could list all the areas we're not like Jesus, But what I think might be more valuable is to say, is there one thing about the person of Jesus, even just one today? There's probably a ton. There should be a ton. Just one that you're like, that is really beautiful. And I would love to be beautiful like that. Maybe it's his relationship with the Father. Just the intimacy, how he totally sees what the Father is doing everywhere. For me, that's the one that I've settled on this week. I've had a little bit more time to think about it than you. All right, maybe it's just the fact that Jesus is always at peace, right? His feathers are never ruffled. Like, wouldn't that be beautiful to be able to walk through life unruffled, right? Just by nothing, like just to have this solid sense of all those things around you, right? This internal identity, right? Maybe that's what it is too, that this, I know who I am. I know my value. Wouldn't it be awesome to have the value of self that Jesus has and to know your significance in the light of who God is, to carry that around with you? Wouldn't it be beautiful to have the friendships that Jesus has with the integrity and the honesty and the depth and the fun and whatever else goes around with that? To have the courage that he has to stand up to those who might disagree, to have the tenderness, to have even the eyes to notice the people that are small or weak or little, right? So many areas that Jesus is absolutely beautiful, and here is a God who's inviting, right? So let's look at what he offers to us. He says in verse 29, as chapter 1 ends, he says, to this end, which is that Jesus says, I would like to make you perfectly like me. It's my Thanksgiving present to you, my Christmas present to you, my birthday present to you, my Groundhog's Day present to you, my whatever day present to you, right? I just want to make you like me. To this end, Paul says, I labor. Paul says, I get it. I want everything reconciled. I want you glorified. All those things are good. I'm working toward that. It's on my agenda now too. Struggling with what? What does it say? It's a really important word. All of whose energy? Man, I love it. It's so beautiful. Paul is struggling, but he's struggling with someone else's energy. Man, there's a mystery in that too, yet to be fully unfolded, but it's an absolutely beautiful one that acknowledges, yeah, you can't just sit on your couch, but the energy that you struggle with is the energy that Jesus brings into that mix. The energy that he comes inside of you right now and says, I am here working to make you beautiful just like me. So as we finish up our message time today, I want to invite you to struggle with his energy and to find one place of beauty in Jesus that right here and right now you can say, God, I would be better off if that beauty were in me too. And then just to ask, just simply, you've promised you're going to make me like Jesus. And that may seem way mind-blowing, bigger than I can imagine, but in this area, can you begin to do that in me? And then we're going to watch this week and say, how is your energy going to work those things in my life? So take a moment right now, ask, and then we'll gather and watch too. Jesus, you are beautiful. I don't know anybody that would disagree with that. And God, the hope that we could become like you is incredible. And we want that because that would glorify you in a way that you fully deserve to be glorified. But we also want it, God, in a very personal way because it would begin to fix those things that are broken around us. So you've heard, God, our prayers. I pray that this week you would give us eyes to see how you're beginning to do that mysterious work inside of us, to form us into that image of Christ. We love how beautiful you are. And we sing now about that beauty and about that richness and about that wonder of the person of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.